Over this next little period of time, we are right smack dab in the middle of Mark's gospel. Now, I know that gets you all excited when you hear things like that, but I just got to tell you that that's where we are. And in that gospel, what we have, Mark is literally taking the first six chapters and really kind of directing us towards this next three chapters, 7, 8, and 9. And then, following that midsection of Mark's gospel, we have the conclusion of his great teaching about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what he teaches, actually three times in those chapters of 8, 9, and 10, are these very simple and yet very direct thoughts from Mark's gospel. What he says: Jesus, this Messiah, begins by proclaiming that even though he has many followers, even though things are going well, even though he's winning the race, even though many people are coming after him and trying to just touch him, he knows that ultimately and finally, he will suffer his passion, his death, and his resurrection. So right in the midsection of that gospel is that prediction of his death, the cross. It sticks right in the middle of that great gospel of Mark. And secondly, right after that prediction, there is always the misunderstanding of his followers. They don't get it. They don't understand that this man, how could they be following a loser? How could they give up their life for someone who was going to suffer the ignominious, horrendous death of a stripped Jew on a cross? Could not be. So they misunderstand what he says. And then there is the corrective. Our Lord says, "No, wait a minute. You've got to listen to me. You have a wrong estimate of what Messiahship is about. It is always the cross. And in that cross, death and then victory." So he literally turns upside down their view, and I dare say our view, of what it means really to succeed. What it means to really be a follower of Jesus Christ. What it means to live that fullness of life. It's not necessarily great success, continued success, and then victory. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of that. It's always a struggle, some pain, great sacrifice, a cross that we must endure. And from that, the gift of life. And so we have today's first prediction. He's at Caesarea Philippi, way up in the north of Galilee. And he's walking along and he's speaking and teaching. And he says, he says to all of the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter comes right out. He's got fire. And he said, "You are the Christ." And then Jesus says, "Yeah, I am the Christ. But the Christ that you feel, the Christ that you've imaged, is not the Christ that I am. I must suffer, I must die, and then I will rise." And what does Peter do? He does what you and I would do. "I'm not going to follow a loser. It can't be. Let me prop him up. Let me help him to see what it really is about." And so he begins to remonstrate, the scriptures say, against him. And Jesus looks at Peter and the disciples and says, "Get behind me. You're thinking wrong. Your thinking is wrong." And I wonder about that. I wonder about that for our own lives. What is it ultimately and finally that has brought the greatest joy? What's brought us the sweetest victory? What is it that makes our lives worthy of who we are and what we are called to be, I will guarantee you, my brothers and sisters, it is always a struggle. There's always some doubt in our lives. There's always some addiction or difficulty or pain or sin or loss or whatever it is. And it causes us anxiety, it causes us fear, it causes us trepidation. It's the cross. But my brothers and my sisters, that's the victory. When you and I don't run from that, when we literally are willing to endure it, when we take it and embrace it and make it the very source of something new, something grand in our lives, there is that sweet victory. That's what Mark is saying to you. I could literally now just go sit down and that would be enough, but I'm not going to do it. I have a story first and then I will. It's written in Commonweal, which is a great magazine, one of the great magazines still of our time, July 13th this year. And a pastor has an article entitled, A Church Downstairs. So he's got a church and they're celebrating, and they're doing all the things that we do. But downstairs there was another church. And this pastor said, I would go down to that downstairs church from time to time just to learn, just to study, just to see what it was. And he said, I learned the great teaching of life. Here it is. This pastor would sit at meetings that would help him to understand what it really meant to be church, to be a people of God, to be a person who follows our Lord. It's an AA meeting. And it's down there a few days a week. And this is what this pastor learned. First, he said there was a genuine sense, a low-key sense of welcome. There weren't just people designated to do the welcome. There were. But that wasn't what happened. He said everyone in that little church downstairs, when the meeting was over, wouldn't bolt for the door or go after communion. No, he didn't say that. Can't wait to get out. We've got dinner. No. They waited. Why? Because there might be someone who needed us. Maybe a newcomer. Someone that was slipping. So hospitality wasn't a designated feature, structure. It was right in the DNA of who they are. First thought, simple. Second thought, the pastor noticed that the church downstairs rallies around the strong, the powerful, the mighty. No. The weak, powerless, those who are suffering and hurt, that somehow, because of their own struggle, they had a sweetness, a tenderness, a sensitivity. And you and I know that. You and I know when we're feeling really mighty and strong, we don't give a flip about anyone or anything. We're firing away. But let there be a death. Let there be some shame. Let there be a struggle. What happens? We see it. We see it in people's eyes. We're attentive. We care. That was the second thing he learned about the church downstairs. And third, lastly, hospitality, a care for those who struggle. And the third, a belief, and this is the one, my brothers and sisters, I beg you to hear, a belief that everyone as a story. We've all got something to share. All of us. All of us. Not just kings and queens and princesses. All of us. All of us have great moments in our lives, struggles in our lives, difficulties in our lives. And so there's a common sense there. A commonness that says, I'm you, and you're me. And so when I wake up tomorrow morning, and I do my very best to welcome every single person that comes here, no matter what they look like, no matter what I think they are, if I could just for a little while, begin to see in them that struggle, that pain, that difficulty, that cross. And if I could just learn in this thick Norwegian head of mine that I'm you and you are me. My goodness. What a church we would have upstairs. It might even look a little bit like the church downstairs. And so, my brothers and sisters, behold the cross. It is our only hope. Trust me. It is the only way, ultimately and finally, where you and I, by our embrace of it, by our hard slugging through it, in it, with it, that beautiful phrase of the responsorial psalm today comes true. Every day, every hour, every moment, in the land of the living, our God is with us.